Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. We enter into the season of Lent on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. So please join us for our midweek services. Potluck at 5:30. 6:30 we have worship. Lent is traditionally a time of self-examination, reflection. Take a look at our lives, how we're living day by day, how we're treating our fellow man. It's a time of spiritual growth, time to draw close to the Lord. In the past, the church has asked people to give up things or to do something over and above what they usually do. That is a good spiritual practice if you'd like to participate in that. Think about that. And then we gather for worship and draw close to the Lord. So Lent begins this Wednesday. Please join us. One thought I had was, since I don't see any kids here and all I see is lots of gray hair or bald heads, something to think about next year is maybe we should have a noon lunch and then worship. I just throw that out there for you, okay? On this Transfiguration Sunday, it's a day Jesus climbs the mountain with his three of his disciples, and his whole visage, his person changes. He becomes white as snow, and there's transformation that happens. And then at the end of the lesson, the voice of God comes in a cloud, and it says, "This is my son. Listen to him." And it occurred to me as I was thinking about this lesson this week that if you are wondering where meaning is in your life or purpose is in your life, if you are wondering why you don't have peace in your heart and joy in your soul, it's maybe because we haven't listened to Jesus. Jesus came on the scene. God became man. If you want to find out how to live a life that means something, God is whispering to us today and says, just listen to Jesus. Try and put some of the things that he said to work in your life. It's not really rocket science. I mean, it's just pretty simple. So, isn't it, Wally? Yeah. You been listening to him? Yeah.
I hear voices.
Yeah, and how do you discern the voices you're listening to? Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I think that's maybe it's as simple as that. So it's nice to have you here. Nice for us to gather to say prayers and sing these wonderful hymns. We're going to use the Blue Book today. It's great to have fellowship with other people who are trying to make the world a better place. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we gather on this cold February morning, ever mindful of your presence in our lives. Your Spirit has stirred our hearts. You have brought us to a place where we know that you are God and where we understand that you became man in the person of Jesus. And your Spirit has worked in us, through our lives. Sometimes, though, we drift away and we think we can do better or stand on our own. Remind us today as we gather around your holy table. Remind us today as we sing these wonderful hymns and hear your word that you love us absolutely, unconditionally, and you care for each one of your children. So bless us in this hour together, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Day by Day, hymn 746 in your blue books. please rise. Oh, what... Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who spoke light into creation, who calls us to listen and follow, who sends us to shine like stars. Amen. Let us come before God confessing our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. Holy and merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against our sisters and brothers and against you. We cherish the values of this world. We cause others to stumble. The earth is wounded by our excess. Have mercy, O God. Forgive us, renew us, and raise us up on eagle's wings, that we may do your will with courage and delight. Amen. Hear the voice from heaven. You are my own, my beloved. God gives power to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Be cleansed, be healed. For in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you the forgiveness of your sins and the revealing of God's reign. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son, and illumine the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our sister Joni Peterson, who was scheduled to read, called this morning with a bad sore throat. I didn't even recognize her voice, so she asked if I would read on her behalf. Our first lesson for this Transfiguration Sunday is found in the second book of Kings in the first chapter. Today's reading centers on the transfer of power and authority from the prophet Elijah to Elisha. Their travels, which retrace the path of Joshua back to Moab, the place where Moses died, and the parting of the waters demonstrate that Elisha and Elijah are legitimate successors of the great prophet Moses. Now, when the Lord is about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were within Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am taken away from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Here ends the first lesson. The psalm this morning comes from the 50th psalm. Let's read it responsively. "The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the Lord from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice for righteousness of God's cause, for it is God who is judge. Out of Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth in glory." Please rise in honor of reading our Holy Gospel. The Gospel lesson for this Transfiguration Sunday comes from the 9th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 2nd verse. Mark's Gospel presents the Transfiguration as a preview of what would become apparent to Jesus' followers after he rose from the dead. Confused disciples are given a vision of God's glory manifest in the beloved Son. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And they were coming down the mountain. He ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Word of God, the Word of Life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Precious Lord," number 731.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my faith grows dear, precious Lord, lead me here. When my life is almost done, hear my cry, hear my call.
at the river end. Hold my hand, precious Lord, lead me. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is the day in the church year when we celebrate Christ's transfiguration. Here's something for you to think about. Did you know that the Greek word that's translated as transfiguration is the Greek word metamorphothe, from which we get the word metamorphosis? I'll bet if I asked any of your grandchildren what metamorphosis, they would be able to tell you that it's a transformation, a complete change of appearance and looks. The dictionary word for metamorphosis is a transformation, a complete change of appearance and form. Best example of metamorphosis is maybe when you look at the lowly caterpillar as they turn into a beautiful butterfly. That's metamorphosis. There's a story about two caterpillars who are watching a chrysalis. A chrysalis is the same thing as a moth. It wraps itself up and becomes a cocoon. Now, this is what happens to a butterfly. So one caterpillar turns to the other and says, "You'll never get me up in one of those," after they see one of these chrysalises expand, huh? Well, in a wonderful way, God has created, God's created the world. The caterpillar will sooner or later get up in one of those things. They change. That's metamorphosis. And I think it's interesting that the term indicating transfiguration, the thing that happened to Jesus, should be so close to describing the metamorphosis of a butterfly. Jesus changed that day. It can help us to appreciate how dramatic this change was. Peter, James, and John are watching this change. Now, I'm not saying that Christ's transfiguration was anything like the metamorphosis of a butterfly. I mean, Jesus certainly didn't sprout wings and fly off the mountain like Superman. But something happened that transformation day, that transfiguration day, something his disciples would never forget. So we have the story today. One day Jesus takes Peter and James and John, leads them up this high mountain. Suddenly, quite dramatically on that mountain, Jesus is transfigured right in front of their eyes. Suddenly his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And in Luke's gospel, the word used to describe Jesus' dazzling appearance is the same word that's used for the word lightning. Jesus turned to lightning. It's an amazing scene. If you can visualize it in your minds, I mean, maybe a Steven Spielberg movie could paint a picture for us. But it reminds me of a scene out of Exodus chapter 34 when Moses climbs the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And he spends his time up there, and when he comes down, his whole person is white too. He's so bright that the people of Israel can't look at his face, so he has to cover his head. It's a mystery how that happens. His face was so radiant that the people were even afraid to come near him. So in the same way, Peter and James and John are on the mountain with Jesus. His clothes become dazzling white, but that's not all. Not only do the disciples see Jesus transfigured, but then they see Jesus talking with great prophets, Elijah and Moses. Now, there's more than the disciples are seeing here that's taken place. Huh? Peter says, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's make for you a temple and one for Elijah and one for Moses." Peter didn't know, the scriptures say, what to say. He was so frightened, so all of a sudden he blurts this out. That's something that Peter always does in the Gospels. Huh? Peter would have asked Jesus, maybe, in today's world, if this were to happen, can we put it on Facebook? Let's take a picture. Let's put it on Instagram. I can hear him right now, "Master, is it all right if we take a selfie?" Is Ronnie Ahu here? You know what a selfie is today? Yeah. Last time I asked him a month ago, he says, I think it's some kind of steak sauce. But Peter had no idea what he was saying. And that's all right. This is an event that's beyond his understanding. And then, as if things hadn't gotten mysterious enough, this cloud descends. And out of the cloud, a voice, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. So he's telling Peter and James and John, listen to him. I don't know about you, but if I heard a voice coming, well, Wally hears all kinds of voices, coming from a cloud, I'd be ready to beat a hasty retreat. I think I'd get out of that mountain. But the three disciples were probably already in a state of shock. Jesus is transfigured. Moses and Elijah, the greatest prophets in all of Jewish history, are in their presence. And now this voice comes from a God, or from a cloud. It's got to be more than they can possibly take in. I mean, this is a big event. And then suddenly Mark tells us that when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And I think that's significant. And it's significant because Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. And after God announces that Jesus is his son, Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus alone remains. The law and the prophets have served their time. They pass away at this moment, and Jesus takes their place. He becomes the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. What happens here on this mountain is a visual representative of what Jesus talks about in the fifth chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So the law and the prophets have fulfilled their purpose, and Jesus, the Messiah, is now at hand, and he's going to take over and bring a new thing. So this incident, you know, draws our attention to the old covenants, the new covenants. A new year is on the horizon. A new episode is about to dawn in the person of Jesus. And then it reminds me of a verse from Jeremiah. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." We're going to come back to this covenant in a few weeks, so stay tuned. But what a magnificent event this transfiguration story is, huh? And only Peter and James and John were privy to it. We don't know why this honor was accorded to these three, unless the answer is found in the last verse of this Mark text. Mark writes, "As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." Could be very well that if the other disciples were there, they wouldn't have been able to keep the secret. You know how that goes. I mean, the impact of this is so enormous. It was so life-changing. I can see if all the other ones would have been there, "Don't tell anyone," but I can see one of the guys telling his wife, "You know, I'm not supposed to tell anyone about it, but I'm going to burst if I don't, so I'll tell you, but don't tell anyone." And the next day she's on the phone saying, "Uh-oh, this is what's happened." This was an astounding occasion. This is why we have this Sunday in the church year, Transfiguration Sunday. This is an important day in the life of the church. The disciples were confronted with Christ in a new and an exciting way. God appears to these disciples in a new and an exciting way. And maybe the most important part of this scene comes at the end of the when the cloud descends and this voice from heaven comes out and says, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." They're going to listen to Jesus. And I think what this voice said to Peter and James and John is every bit as important as it is to you and me today. "This is my son, my beloved." This is God speaking to us. Listen to him. When he says listen, He says he's going to tell us what's critical for us to live meaningful, purposeful lives. So what is critical for living a Christ-like life? I mean, maybe that's what I would like to have you think about this week. What is critical about living a Christ-like life? You already know. What's most important is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else in life is secondary importance to these two commands. That's what's critical to live a Christ-like life. We love our neighbor because we love God. What does that kind of life look like? Let me tell you a story about a young lady named Hope Stout. When she was 12 years old, Hope was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer. Hope came to be known to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. You all know what that organization's about. It works to provide joy to some children with terminal illnesses. It's a wonderful ministry that goes on there. Anyway, the Make-A-Wish Foundation contacted 12-year-old Hope Stout about fulfilling one of her wishes. And in a moment of selflessness that's really absolutely awe-inspiring, Hope Stout wished for just one thing, that every kid on the Make-A-Wish list would get their wish granted before she got hers. And to me, this is an amazing thing. She wished that every kid on the Make-A-Wish Foundation list would get their wish first. For a 12-year-old kid, that's amazing. And so this group was inspired by Hope's examples. Those organizers got together. They raised money. They got active. They gathered volunteers. There were 155 kids on the list before her. And they worked as hard as they could, almost raised enough money to grant every kid's wish. But then in January 2004, Hope passed away without having her wish fulfilled. But her example still gets that organization inspired. They work diligently to see that every kid gets their wish fulfilled as soon as possible. So I read this story this week as I'm going through my archives, and I wonder, why did she do that? You know, this little girl could have asked for anything, almost anything in the world. Why did she give it all up for the sake of others? In Hope's selfless, extravagant, loving decision, we catch a glimpse of God's ultimate plan for humanity. Love God. Love your neighbor. Listen to Jesus when he says that this is what's critical in life. Love God and love your neighbor. If you want meaning and purpose and joy and peace, love God and love your neighbor. On the last day, when you and I get in the presence of the Lord, we're going to be judged not on the basis of how much stuff we've accumulated, not on the basis of how many degrees we have, not on the basis of how many marathons you've run. Those things are all going to be as filthy rags. The only question you and I are going to be asked, I think, is how well we've loved. And listen to him when he explains who our neighbor is. It's not just people in our family or not just people in our neighborhood, not just people who look like us or think like us or vote like us. Everyone is our neighbor. And it's clear from his teachings that Jesus died for the whole world. Everyone is our neighbor. Even our enemies, even those ISIS folks are our neighbors. No one is shut out in God's perspective here. And he says, listen to him. Listen to him as he tells us what's critical in life. Love God. Love your neighbor. Listen to him as he defines who our neighbor is. Bottom line is, if we listen to him, everything's going to be all right. I mean, Jesus, beaten and scourged and rejected, his message to us as he looks out on all of this is, all is well. Jesus, hanging on the tree on Calvary, looks out on the people. His parents, his family, his friends. And he says, all is well. Jesus laying in the tomb 3 days in the realm of the dead. His message to us is, all is well. Jesus rising victoriously on Easter Sunday to love us and to forgive us. His message to us is, all is well. And so today, as we think about this transfiguration of Jesus, this change that took place in him, he's reminding us and asking us to be changed, be transformed. Listen to Jesus, God reminds us, and all will be well. All will be well. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. At the same time, let's join in singing hymn number 660. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5 and let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Call to know, love, and follow you, O God. We pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Blessed are you, Holy One. It is your pleasure to shine the light of your presence on all you love. Enlighten your church and help it listen and to follow your Son, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Blessed are you, Holy One. Your creative love shines in every growing thing that stretches toward the sun. Restore your creation to vibrancy and beauty and open our eyes to see your splendor. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Blessed are you, Holy One. You reveal true glory in the suffering of your Son. By his example, humble the hearts of leaders and quiet the pride of nations. Teach us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Blessed are you, Holy One. You are the strength of the sick and suffering, the lonely and forgotten, the fearful and despairing. Shine the healing light of your presence on them. We especially remember in our prayers Darwin and Betty and Dean and Ron and Audrey and Anita and all those others who we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Holy One. You pour your spirit into young and old alike. Shine your light in the hearts of this congregation and send us to carry your light to others. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings. We thank you for your love that has never left us. Help us to live in your love. We remember in our prayers Pat Kohlberg as she mourns, she and her family mourn the loss of her father. Comfort them in their mourning. We pray for our snowbirds, those who are already down south, those who will soon follow. Keep them safe as they travel. Keep them in your loving care. And Lord, if you could smile upon our families and our loved ones, make them ever mindful of your presence in the world and in their lives. Keep them safe. Blessed are you, Holy One. Your saints shine with the glory that fills the face of your beloved Son. At the last, gather us with them on your holy mountain. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Trusting your love and healing, O God, we commend to you all for whom we pray, knowing you will hear and answer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today we are invited to listen to him, listen to Jesus. At his last meal, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." In this way, we draw close to our Lord. After supper, he took the cup, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we will celebrate communion by using intinction. We will hand you the bread. Please dip it in the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let the server know and we will serve you bread that is appropriate. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. Come, we thank you. The congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Everlasting God, we bless you that you have brought us to the mountaintop and fed us with the life and light of your Son. Send us in his name from this place to bring light into dark corners, healing where lives are torn, and nourishment to every hungry heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God the Father, light creator, God the Son, light from light, and God the Holy Spirit, light revealer, bless you, and give you peace.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Our closing hymn, 721, Go My Children with My Blessing.
Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own.